Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 8 o'clock, right on the dot. And I'm going to bring in Dana Holgerson. It's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. That's where you go and you watch your Cougs. They're going to play Friday night against BYU, or you can come with us. We'll all be at the game out at TDECU. If you're looking for a great place to watch the game, then all you got to do is get to Damaris Barbecue. I'm telling you, we love it. Oh, by the way, oh, yeah. So Margie over at Luling told me that the Damaris catered the Dan Pastorini dinner on Sunday night. They had prime rib, and they had a turkey dinner like it was Thanksgiving, and they said it was unbelievable how good it was. So, listen, it's not just barbecue. When you're talking about catering, go to Damaris.com. They can cater any event. We've been to wonderful Christmas parties where Damaris catered it with, you know, the carving stations and everything. Unbelievable how good they are. They are really tremendous. And Margie was raving about it yesterday, how good it was to have Damaris catering out at the Dan Pastorini event on Sunday night. Dana Holgerson is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. He's had that catering before. What's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. Good. How are you? All you've ever had from Damaris catering is fajitas. They do other stuff too, you know.
No, they do all kinds of stuff. I went on a 10-minute rant on my radio show last week because I had nothing to talk about. So I decided to talk about Damaris Barbecue, and we got into the whole catering conversation, and they do a pretty good job. And it's not just, you know, the things that they're known for from their barbecue restaurant, which is Mexican food and barbecue. They do about everything, you know. So, it's pretty cool that came from a fellow barbecue lady as well, Margie right. at Lulu. They do a good job,
right.
And then they're recommending and having such good things to say about the various barbecue. That's great for sportsmanship.
Well, this was the catering, so. The catering portion, and they did prime rib, and they did the turkey. It was she said it was just spectacular, just awesome stuff. Also brought to you by HRP, who's a big Mike Holiday, a huge Coug, and Patrick Chastain Ford. Joe and Patrick are big Coug fans. So if you Cougs out there, these are the people that you take care of, because these are the people that are supporting the program big time. Chastain Ford, HRP, and Damaris. So let's get going. Let's talk about last week. Slow start. I thought offensively, your offensive defense was lacking. What with two scores given up in the first few minutes of the game, but Clayton settled in very nicely, and the defense was just flying all over the field. Overall, what'd you think about after all that time that you had to wait to play?
Yeah, it wasn't surprising that our start was slow. I mean, they're going into their fourth game. I think that matters and makes a big deal. You know, we talked about it all week. You know, don't be surprised if we're not doing, you know, superior things early. You know, and I was proud of the way the coaches and the players didn't panic when bad things happened early. There are spurts of good things in the first quarter. I mean, it's just the two things that were just so monumentally bad. I mean, I can sit here and tell you that the turnover margin doesn't really matter. Which in this game it really didn't. I mean, we lost the turnover battle 5-0. I could argue it should have been 6-0, and we won by 18 points. You know, so there's other things that matter more. But you talk about getting behind the eight ball a little bit when you give them 14 points. That's when turnovers really matter. Kind of where those turnovers happen and what the opposing team does with the turnovers is what detrimental to your ball club. Those were just really, really, really bad, you know. But I was really proud of how Clayton just, you know, he played really good after that. He had one more interception after that, but that was a Hail Mary right before the half. So I don't count that. One of the turnovers was a punt return, which, you know, just had a guy back there that hadn't done it in a year and a half. You know, and then Marquez put it on the ground, which that's something that I've been talking with him. As special as he is and as dynamic as he is, you know, his bad gets really bad too. And we got to clean up the really bad. And then once we did that in the first quarter, things settled down. We played really good three really good halves of football.
I got to ask you about Marquez Stevenson's touchdown. He takes, and this is kind of rare. I don't see this much with kick return stuff when I'm watching kick return guys. His two-step setup where he takes the two steps and then basically intentionally game the outside leverage, the outside contain. He gamed him back inside and got outside the outside leverage and ended up. Now, after that, it was just a beautiful cut across the field for the touchdown. What was the kick return set up like that, or was that something that he just did on his own?
Yeah, that's a perfectly executed, well thought of backyard kickoff return is what that was. He just does that stuff naturally, honestly. I mean, that was a middle return. The kick was really good. You know, we knew we had to deal with their kicker. He kicked most of them into the end zone. Then every now and then he'd try to kind of lull you asleep and try to hang that thing up a little bit, put it outside the numbers, which is challenging from a kickoff return perspective. You got to keep your guys engaged, and then he's got to go a long ways to get to the middle of the field if you put that thing outside the numbers. Speedy was just tired of not returning it. So he took a chance, and he wasn't getting to the middle because they were squeezing so much. So he did that naturally. That happens two different ways. You get the edge, and the kickoff team has some problems, or you get tackled, and you're starting from the 10-yard line. So, you know, we gave him the green light just because, you know, we wanted him to touch the ball. So he did it based on us telling him to do it, and then the rest of it he just did on his own. The one thing I think we've done a good job of coaching with the kickoff return is they know who he is, and they know he can kind of do different things and go his own direction. And our guys are taught to, you know, don't block in the back and get your eyes on the returner and see where he is and help when you can help. And that's kind of what happened. And, you know, he made three or four guys miss, and then our guys didn't screw it up after that.
Yeah, I mean, they had, what, six kickoffs, and you only returned one all night. What is your thought? What do you tell them? I know you told them to go there, but what is your philosophy when you get out to the 25-yard line? And what do you tell your guys about returning them?
Well, I think it has everything to do with the kicker, you know, the opposing team kicker. They can hang those things up. BYU, if he plays, the guy didn't play last week. But, you know, this is the whole Bill Belichick theory. If you can get a lot of height on the ball and your hang time is really good, then they would rather drop that thing down on the 1-yard line. You know, which makes returning kicks, you know, pretty challenging. So if it's a poor kicker that you can get the ball in your hands with some space, then we're going to return every one of them. If they can hang that thing up and it's outside the numbers and you don't have the right return call, then you better fair catch it and get it on the 25. I was going down the path that we were going to get rid of kickoff, and, you know, with some of the new rule changes and some of the creative ways people are doing things, I just don't think it's ever going to happen.
You don't think they'll ever get rid of it?
No, I don't. I mean, there's the whole onside kick thing that's never going to go away. There's, you know, there's the safety on it has gotten better once they, you know, move the cover guys closer to the ball. I don't know. Maybe the next step in the college game is to put it on the ball. I can't fill those. I just think there's too many things that you can do with it, get creative with it, that it's not, and it's too exciting for the fans. I don't think it's going to ever happen.
Yeah, the XFL I thought was a pretty good way to do it. It's really radical for the NFL, so and college football. So I don't know if it'll happen. And you could decide to kick an onside kick if you want. You can do that as well. Obviously, you know it's going to be an onside kick, but you know in a lot of instances it's going to be an onside kick anyway, unless you're the Atlanta Falcons and you don't know how to cover an onside kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless
that was,
that's the case.
That was a pretty spectacular kick, though.
Yeah, it was a great kick, but you fall on the ball before it hits the 10-yard line. How are you on the Hans team and you don't know that?
I'm not excusing that, but that's the new way of doing the onside kick is you put the ball flat and you spin that thing and it moves.
Right.
Hey, I want to ask you about so I'm sure you're probably aware of the crazy scores in the SEC, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, this looks like the Big 12 and all this and that. You know, I feel like it's just a matter. It was always this way. Whenever the best teams started running spread, first there was Oklahoma, and they did it because they had a bad offensive line, but they were extremely effective getting the ball out in space and letting guys go one-on-one. And we've seen what Baylor has done with the isolation stuff with Art Briles and just sending one guy down the field when they have a weak matchup. Is it just a matter of time when you have great athletes that once you – is the offense just destined to win in college football? Just the nature of who's on defense, the nature of the rules, the nature of offense being what it is. I feel like we're at a place now, Coach, where I don't know how RPOs get defended anymore. It feels like offense, once the teams with some of the best athletes start really focusing on a more updated offense and a less traditional offense, they become this high-flying unit too. It's like it's almost not stoppable.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're talking to the head coach who has the number one defense in the country right now. So we play really good spout defense here at the university. it's the way that we wanted to go into the season and approach this season, which we were going to do things offensively to protect our defense. It's working fabulously. We're number one in the nation in defense. Not scoring defense because we gave them 14 points, but in total yards, we're number one. So, no, I'm just, you know, well, we play BYU, who's number one in the country in offense, so that'll probably change here real quick. But, you know, it's funny. I lived a part of that for a long time where, you know, can't play defense when you run this kind of offense, can't play defense when you tempo the way that people tempo and throw the ball the way that you throw the ball. I don't imagine Nick Saban is sleeping very good at night right now, giving up 650 yards to Ole Miss. You know, I saw something on Twitter, and I think I'll be close when I say what I saw, that the SEC is averaging more points right now than the Big 12 has in the last 5 years. So, you know, all those Big 12 haters and American Conference haters, which was all coming from the SEC, that says that isn't real football and you can't do that. That stuff's never going to work in the NFL and the quarterbacks are going to struggle in the NFL. Well, Patrick Mahomes is doing pretty good. Cliff's doing pretty good out at Arizona. What the Kansas City Chiefs are doing, what the LA Rams are doing, what really, you know, the majority of not the majority of the NFL, but a lot of the NFL is doing is the stuff that we were doing a long time ago.
Yeah.
Which it all evolves. I mean, I'm different than we were at Tech. I'm different than I was at West Virginia a couple years ago. Oklahoma's running the ball more than they're at least trying to right now, more than they ever have. You know, it's just funny how that stuff made its way to the SEC, and they're scoring more and more and more and more points. And you don't hear the defensive bashers of the American in the Big 12 anymore.
Dana Holgorsen is with us here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by HR&P, and brought to you by Chastang Ford. That's our peeps. So all those are our peeps, and they're big, big Coug fans. And so you Coug fans out there that are listening to Dana every week right here. Now, Dana's going to be back on Thursdays, 8 o'clock. Next week, but he's got BYU coming up Friday. We'll talk about that and some defensive players I want to get to, Coach, on the other side. But first, I want to talk about Lance Loken and the Loken Group. If you're somebody that's looking to sell or buy a home, the Loken Group is for you. They are, well, it's just the best. It's not even arguable. It's not even close. When you look at what they do, the Loken Group does against the other guys, the Loken Group, it takes an average of 30 days to sell your home. And that's an average, okay? The other guys, 56 days to sell a home. That's ridiculous. But there are so many instances, 16 showings and 7 offers in just 7 days, 3 days, 11 showings, over $10,000 over the list price. They'll make an immediate cash offer to you. So you don't even have to, you don't have to go and prepare your home and do all the stuff that you got to do. You'll achieve top dollar for your home. You need an agent that can create an auction-like effect with buyers competing for your home. That means you've got to have that buyer's list. And the Loken Group has the biggest buyer's list in the entire state. They're the number one group for Keller Williams Platinum in the country, number two in the world. So if you're looking for the best, they're just the best. I'm telling you, you got to go with the Loken Group. Very nice people that you'll love. You'll end up loving these guys because they're going to get you the most for your home. 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or the Loken, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:16 on ESPN 97.5. We've got Dana Holgerson with us, two segments every week. Next week it's going to be on Thursday because he goes back to a regular schedule. Friday night he's got BYU. Before we get to BYU, I want to ask you about Peyton Turner. He's a Houston kid. And, man, I want to tell you something. I was watching with, you know, some people that know some stuff that are in the pros, a couple of guys, actually, and they were like, kid's really, really, really good, man. Is he disruptive? He had 4.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and he just looked like he was somewhat I don't know. You see him every day in practice. I don't want to put too much on him from one game, but tell me about Peyton Turner.
Yeah, he's that guy. You know, rarely do I say, you know, at the end of a game, it's just clear cut who the best player on the field was, and that was him. You know, we've been hoping he could get there. He's a very motivated kid. Went to Westside here in Houston. He's going into his fourth year. We'll have his degree here in December. He's a 4.0 student. He's 6'6". He's 260. He's athletic. He's, you know, just a big, good-looking, motivated kid. And has played a lot of ball. Last year, this is no joke, last year he got to the quarterback about 12 times and only sacked him like 3 times because he had 4 broken fingers. And so when you have like a couple broken fingers on each hand, it's hard to grab things. And so he'd get there and he just couldn't get the guy down because he couldn't grab the guy, you know. And so he's healthy now, but, I mean, he looks the part and he's one of our team captains and he's – you know, really motivated to play, and we got out of him in game one what I thought we could get out of him, and he's pretty motivated to continue to do the same thing and can handle about anything. He's good against the run. He can rush the passer as well.
He's the Jason Pierre-Paul last year of your team.
Well, he wasn't able to grab his fingers still, John.
Grab him,
though. I know, but he still has broken fingers.
How about that playing
how
with
how flagrant is this guy, Dell?
Breaking fingers and dude wants to play, Dana. You don't see guys. So he's got that kind of drive, huh?
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's pretty motivated and all that, and he just, you know, he likes to play and he's been around here for a while and like I said, he's a captain. He's pretty motivated, you know, so he does a good job of getting everybody else around him. He's pretty excited about having the same position coach and the same defensive system for the second year in a row, which is a first around here for about 6 years. So I think you'll benefit from that as well.
Coach, from a recruiting standpoint, do you have a feel? Obviously, you'd just be probably ballparking this, but percentage of a recruiting class that you can get from Houston versus the state of Texas versus outside the state? Like, it just seems like we always hear about all these players on other teams and from your team who are all from Houston. There's just such a wealth of talent coming out of here. What percentage of your recruiting classes typically may come or would you like to come from the city of Houston or surrounding areas?
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer, Lance, honestly. I mean, it's a priority for us. You know, if you look at how we're recruiting right now, which is kind of challenging because it's been dead for the last 6-7 months. And you can't bring them up on campus. We had, you know, some high school guys here that bought some tickets and came to the game, but we can't talk to them or show them around or any of that. But It's a priority for us. We got six or seven kids committed to us right now that are from the Houston area. Last year, I believe we brought in about the same amount. There's just so many kids in Houston. We can't recruit them all, and there's going to be a whole bunch of them that are going to have really good options that are going to want to go elsewhere. I've had the same philosophy since we've been here. Recruit them all. Don't get mad at them when they make other options, because there's a lot of good choices out there. Just be nice to them. And, you know, I think the pandemic, honestly, COVID is going to benefit the University of Houston. It already has. Our enrollment is up. And kids are going to want to come home and stay home. It's just easier for parents, and it's easier for, you know, for them to be able to be closer to home. You know, so that's going to bode well for us. It's going to bode well for the University of Houston. Like I said, it already has. And we just want to get the best players we can. Yeah, sometimes that's JUCO kids that are from Houston or Louisiana. Sometimes it's, you know, JUCO kids that are from California. Number 44 that was running around out there making plays was the California Defensive Player of the Year last year. If it fits what we need, then we're gonna take them. Yep. If they're from Houston, then that's just a bonus.
You know, that's funny too. Yeah, with the portal, man, you never know when that kid's coming back. So yeah, I love the philosophy. Be nice to him. Because hey, it used to be a coach. Oh, you're an idiot. Don't go there. That's a terrible decision. Blah blah blah. Pat him on the back. Yeah, go have fun over there.
And, yeah, because you never know.
At some point, he could be back, right, Dana? Yeah,
you never know.
Well, there's a couple of them that already fit that bill right there. I mean, Giovanni Stewart made the opening tackle of the game. He's from Katy, Texas, played for me at WVU for a couple of years and got his degree and wanted to come finish up here in his hometown playing for me and Coach Belk. And so that worked out really good. Hassan Hippolyte, Deontay Anderson went to Ole Miss, transferred back to Houston, is from Manville. He's played more snaps than anybody on our defense right now. He went out after the third play of the game, and we had to put in Hassan Hippolyte, who's from Hightower. He started at Colorado as a true freshman, and then he came back home. And now, you know, he sat out last year, and now he's playing ball for the Cougars. So there's a bunch of examples, and every kid's a little bit different. But you only get 25 of them a year, and you got to make the most of those 25 by getting the best ones you can get.
Dana Holgorsen with us here, brought to you by HR&P, Chastang Ford, and Damaris Barbecue on ESPN 97.5. Be back next Thursday at 8. But he's got the game Friday night against BYU. Man, what a juggernaut they have been offensively, although UTSA was able to slow him down some after scoring 55, 48, and 45. They scored 27 against UTSA. What did UTSA do differently?
They were the most physical of the teams that they've played. You know, they do a good job running the ball, and so they made BYU do some things in the box that they haven't wanted to do, which forces some man coverage, which they don't want to do. And then defensively, they junked up the box, and they did a good job of stopping the run. It's all about physicality. You know, I mean, their opening game against Navy was a little bit of an anomaly, honestly. I mean, that's, you know, it looked like David and Goliath out there. Navy didn't look very good and very big, and BYU is probably the biggest team that I've ever had to coach against. But Navy had not had put on pads one time, so I'm not quite sure why they ended up playing that game. But they hadn't even put pads on, so they were completely outmatched. Then they, you know, go back to Provo and handle Troy and handle Louisiana Tech, which both of them are spread offenses. You know, and tried to throw the ball around on them, and they're just going to drop eight every time and push the pocket back into the quarterback. And then offensively, they're going to try to run the ball. They got a lot of returning guys on the O-line. They got a couple of really good backs, and then they give that quarterback time, who's completing 90% of his passes or something like that. So it'll be a challenge for us, but should be a fun one. Wish we could pack that stadium at 8:30 on Friday night and make it really wild, but, you know, we're looking forward to the matchup, no doubt.
What's the limit? What do they put the limit at?
It's like 25%, which I don't know what that means. I know BYU bought a bunch of tickets when they heard that. Their stadium's been closed. Utah's closed. You know, and BYU's used to travel, and they go everywhere now. I mean, they usually have four or five trips that are all over the country, so that's nothing new to them. And they get kids from all over the country as well. You know, they attack the the Mormon community and get guys from everywhere and travel really well. We played them in D.C. In 2016, and it was split 50-50. You know, so they will travel really well. So hopefully they didn't gobble up too many of these tickets, and we can get a bunch of Cougs fans there.
Yeah, whatever. They're going to come here, and they're not going to drink any alcohol. We don't need them. What we need is people who are going to come and spend some money in our bars, and let's go.
Drink Coors Light, right?
That's right. You're damn right, drink Coors Light.
Wow. Anna,
you're damn right, drink some Coors Light. Not those people, though. Yeah, that quarterback is – He they're not like BYU hadn't had some good quarterbacks, but this guy is he's pretty dynamic, isn't he? That's something going to be said. That's going to be interesting. But man, I was really Dana. You mentioned you guys are number one defense. It was one game, but man, I saw guys flying around, dude. Grant Stewart and his you put Grant at a different position this year, right?
Yeah, because of Giovanni Stewart, you know, we were able to move him inside the box. The closer Grant is to the ball, the better. I mean, he's just going to get off of blocks and make things happen. So we're able to move him inside. So he's got a ton of experience and been here for 4 years. Donnie Mouton, who's another Houston kid, has, you know, is a 3-year starter and at linebacker. But you bring in Giovanni Stewart to play that nickel spot, you know, which is what he did. I mean, heck, we had him at linebacker at West Virginia just to get him closer to the ball. So, you know, we got a lot of secondary back, but being able to move those guys down and closer to the ball was good. You know, those guys tackle people, so closer you get them up in there to the line of scrimmage, the better.
You feel like you feel like defensively, in terms of the way you're built, both physically and from a depth standpoint, that you're set up to play run heavy or pass heavy teams. You're not going to be mismatched in either one of those scenarios necessarily.
Yeah, I think so. Everything's predicated on what happens up front. And you know, we've got everybody back up front from last year. You know, we added, you know, a couple of guys. I mentioned DeAnthony Jones, 44, who made a few plays. Derek Parrish, 31, from Pearland. He got a sack and got back there. David Anini looks different off the edge. You know, mentioned Peyton Turner. We got inside guys now that couldn't play for us last year. Atlas Bell is a good player. Dot from here in Richmond Foster down in Richmond is a big thick kid that started as a true freshman here game one. So those guys can junk it up and hold gaps and let those linebackers make plays, or we can widen them out and come off the edge. Couldn't get to the quarterback last year and had 6 sacks in the first game. So happy with that.
Yeah, happy with that. No. That defense looks totally different, just flying around and making so much more athletic, making plays. It's going to be fun. Friday night, 8:30, TDECU. Get your tickets and let's go. We'll be out there. Want to see you out there as well. Going to be a big time. Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by Damaris, by Chastang Ford, and by HRNP every week right here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, and ESPN 92.5. as well. Dana, man, we appreciate it. Great start. Well, not a great start, but great way to start the season. And let's do it again on Friday night.
Yeah, I want to know. I take it every day.
Every day. We appreciate
it,
man. We'll see you. There's Dana Holgorsen right here every week. Next week, Thursday, right here on ESPN 97.5. I want to talk about Doc Linville. For those of you on Twitch, you can see my long flowing locks. It's just different now. It is different, and it's so much more fun to have. I'm telling you, when you wake up in the morning and it's not, you don't have mange, when you don't have a giant bald spot in the back, you know, you can't see it in the back, but don't worry, everybody will tell you about it. Or if you've got a receding hairline, whatever the case may be, all you got to do is go see Doc Linville. He's got the neo grafting. He's got the neo grafting that is spectacular. And it's different than what they used to do, where they cut the back of your head and, man, the blood's all. It's just, I mean, not it's a procedure, but it's so much easier. It's so much better. It's so much easier. Yeah, Fred was working the same day. I was back on Monday. I did it on Friday. Back on Monday. I could have worked over the weekend, but you got to go and you got to get this procedure. And I'm telling you, you'll love it. Go to 975hair.com. See for yourself, 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, everybody couldn't be more. I'm going back through the Twitch feed. I'm on Twitch. I'm on Twitch, people. I'm looking at you. Dell is so easily triggered. Man, Dell is fired up. Strike a nerve. Delphin. I never heard you called Delphin.
Delphin is a new one.
Probably came from a dummy, so.
Delphin. D-E-L-F-I-M. I didn't know that was your name.
What I've noticed about Twitch and really anyone who listens and responds, not everyone, but a lot of people, you guys have a bunch of sycophants, like people who would literally like lick your undercarriage no matter what you say. Like, it doesn't matter what you guys
say.
Why
are you going to say stuff like that in the morning?
What?
People are eating breakfast right now. They're eating their Cheerios.
Well, they know.
You're talking about licking undercarriage.
Well, they don't know what this show's about. Look, that's all I've noticed. It's a lot of they'd lube up your undercarriage if they could.
Do you feel like that's accurate?
I don't feel like that's accurate.
When it becomes a you guys versus me thing, it's like, man, you know what we're going to do? We're going to.
Excuse me?
Hey, John and Lance. I'm
pretty sure that's against FCC rules.
I don't care if you guys have been playing golf all day. I'll still get down there.
What? That's not how it works.
It's pretty clear that's how it works.
No. I just think they see things.
Look, they've been...
Objectively.
They've been listening to you guys for, I don't know, we're almost going on almost two decades now. So it's somewhat understandable, but it's, I mean... Guys, get off your knees.
Dell triggered just by us saying he's triggered. Yep.
Because I'm not even angry. It's just what I've noticed. I mean, I've worked with you guys, I don't know, off and on, because Lance's body bags over there for close, almost maybe now seven, eight years now.
I'm so mad because of Justin Herbert.
Herbert is in
a guy this upset about
head.
Missing on quarterbacks.
He approached me. You've approached me again. I didn't mention Justin Herbert again. That's once again you're doing. And now I'm just putting out my observations about you and the relationship between you and the listeners. Not all listeners. Some of them are right-thinking who just listen to the show and like, oh, that's funny or not. Others are like, man, I wish John would do stuff to me.
Well, people are saying that you would do stuff to them?
No, no one says that.
They don't say it. They don't have to say it because that would get weird because you don't put that in the chat. But it's pretty clear. I mean, if John wanted me to do this, I would do it.
That doesn't feel like that's accurate.
Dell is a special little snowflake.
No, that's heartbreaking.
Dell acts like he doesn't care, but he really, really does.
What do I care about?
You care about Justin Herbert. He's in your head.
I care about.
Rent-A-Center called. They need their Herbert back.
You made that joke two segments ago.
I know.
So congratulations.
And guess what? It still stands because he's in your head.
I do care about things, but Justin Herbert, I don't think about Justin Herbert. What I do think about is what type of lube they're using with you.
Oh, my goodness. Why did he say that?
Oh, he's sexual with you. Always sexual.
Yeah. Why do you have to do that?
My goodness.
I mean, I would ask what they look like, but I think I know what they look like.
You literally screamed at me and John earlier about Justin Herbert. We didn't even bring him up. We were talking Titan football. I don't know what happened. We're talking Astros. We're talking Titans. And all of a sudden, Justin Herbert.
Hey, Lance,
Derrick Henry here.
Why would I have just yelled at Justin Herbert?
I don't know. I can't figure that out.
Yeah, it's weird, huh?
How about Dan Mullen wants a sellout and he can't even field a team now?
Yeah, the LSU game's in question.
Head coach Dan Mullen has been in communication with football players and their parents. These circumstances will be reevaluated by UF Health and the athletic department sports medicine staff. Apparently, they had an outbreak, increase in positive COVID tests among the players this week. Out of an abundance of caution, team activities are paused as of Tuesday afternoon.
That also affects A&M because A&M had to put out a statement about we're in contact with LSU. I mean, not LSU. We're in contact with Florida and Miss State about what we're going to do. But the only thing we haven't seen any clear evidence of in-game transmission as of yet because we know Stephon Gilmore had it. And no chief got it, right?
Right.
That he came in contact
with. Right.
We haven't seen like community spread from team to team.
Well, we'll see with A&M.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. But
we'll
so
see
far,
with A&M,
we haven't
that's going to be the concern now. Are they testing? Like, I'd like to know what the testing processes are. Obviously, some team, you're not going to do it as much as the NFL, but the NFL is starting to have more and more players pop, and that's something that baseball didn't. Baseball went through their little drama early, and then they got it together. The NFL is starting to have – now, granted, the NFL is bigger rosters, more personnel people in the front offices. Like, so, and now you're seeing, okay, a practice squad guy has it, and then a personnel guy has it. And so, you know, somebody in a coaching staff has it. It will be interesting. But once again, I talked to Mecole Canabar yesterday. He is a CrossFit guy, very healthy, all that. He said he couldn't talk because it would make him cough. He had to sleep on his stomach. He had 104 fever for 15 days. Like, he got the island in Belize, they got the worst strain. They didn't have it for 3 months, no cases, and somebody snuck a worker in, like, from Guatemala to a development, and then it, like, spread, and all of a sudden everyone's really, really, like, it was the really, really bad strain.
Wow.
But I just want to remind you that these guys who are athletes, they're not all going to be asymptomatic or mild symptoms. You can have some guys that have it pretty bad. Urquidy tested positive for, they finally said this on the broadcast, by the way. I don't know if you caught that. On the broadcast, when Urquidy pitched last against the A's, they said he tested positive 4 straight weeks. That's why we didn't, that's why I was like, where the hell is Urquidy? Why are we not hearing anything? McCool tested positive for 7 straight weeks. His wife for 6 straight weeks, Urquidy for 4 straight weeks, which is why we didn't hear him. And then McCool told me he was wiped out after writing an email, a long email, because he wasn't talking to anybody. Everyone was really worried about him. His wife thought he was going to die a couple times. Like, she said, that's how bad it was. And had he been in the States, he for sure would have been in a hospital. But he wrote an email, a long email, that he sent out to friends about what was going on. And she said that wiped him out for 2 days. Just mentally focusing for 30 minutes just completely wiped him out. So this could still happen to coaches, personnel guys. Personnel guys wouldn't stop anything. Coaches would be an issue. And certainly any players that get it, that would be an issue.
Yeah.
And there are guys, once they hit the COVID list, you don't hear anything else about them because they're on the COVID reserve list. But some of those guys, the Texans have been lucky. But, you know, if DW4 got it, I mean, I don't know. Maybe A.J. McCarron's better than what they used to have, but I feel like it'd be a wrap if Deshaun Watson got it.
It's not like the season isn't a wrap anyway. Listen, the Titans, okay. What's your power rankings now after?
In all of football?
All of football.
Well, that was a good win for the Titans. That was a good win for
Who's the best team in football right now?
Well, before I tell you, I will say that I kind of go the old school handicapping method which who I think would be the best team now, not just like who I would make the favorite. I would say,
well, the Chiefs will be favored in any game they play.
Probably so.
Yeah. But I don't think they're the best team in football.
Well, I mean, the Bills got smashed, so I would say it's not the Steelers. I mean, the Titans are 4-0. Their point differential is 32, but that's because they – oh, no. Yeah, they're 4-0 because they didn't play the Steelers. Who have the Titans played so far?
Titans have beat the Broncos, the Jags, the Vikings, and the Bills.
Sounds like a bunch – well, Bills are legit. The rest of them sound like a bunch of...
The Vikings are a better football team. No, that was 31-30. The Vikings went and played much better.
Well, they had to come from
behind.
Played
a really good game in Seattle.
Yeah, the Vikings, that come from behind loss.
They beat the Texans. I mean, that's not a bad football
team. The Vikings are probably... You need to look at that Titan loss. Probably you need to look at that carefully and what they just did this last weekend.
And the Seattle loss.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Seattle loss and say, ooh, this is definitely a better team.
The Seahawks are probably the best team in football.
I just don't know that I mean, their defense is so – they're on pace. Did you see this? They're on pace right now. They've given up 135 points. They're on pace to be historically the most yards allowed in a single season in NFL history. I just can't call that – that just came out in an article. They're on pace to allow the most yards in NFL history. They've allowed 135 points, which – I mean, boy, now that I look at it, look at some of these points against. 180 for the Cowboys? They've allowed 180, but they're in first place in the conference in the division. 2-3.
Yeah.
145 for the Eagles, 142 for football team. But then you have the Packers, 101, 100 for the Bears.
Well, that's
in
who could
five
be the best
games.
Team in football is the Packers.
Yeah.
That's who could
but
be
you
the
know,
best
it could team. Be, it could be the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are coming off of, you know, they got smacked by the Raiders.
And, by the way, they didn't play great against New England, and they played like crap against San Diego. Honestly, three of the five games, they have not looked really good. And yeah. they look bad. I mean, they got a hand.
I guess you have to put the Titans in the mix. You really do. The Titans haven't, you know, they.
Why not? They're the. What are they since Tannehill came in? But I mean, they're 4-0 this year, and since Tannehill has been their quarterback, they went on an unbelievable run last year. Let's see, Mariota. Okay, they lost Tannehill's first game. They lost Tannehill's. I don't think he started that game, did he? I think he came in and threw for 144, but they lost 16-0 to Denver. Since then, they've gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9 and 5. So they're 13-5 since he's moved in.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty flipping good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, and then they went and, well, they're 15 and 6 with the playoffs last year.
You know, he's kind of the new he's kind of the new Alex Smith, but in a little
Oh, no. Take that back. They are since he came in. I'm not going to count the Denver game. I think he came in 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 and 3. 7 and 3 last year, 11 and 3 since he started.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's real good. That's on pace to have a 12-win season.
13-4 with the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, I think it's just a matter, though, of knowing your identity. And I think that's a big part of the Texans under Bill O'Brien didn't really have an identity. And some of that was by choice. They didn't want to be predictable. And I get that. I liked when Bill O'Brien said, you know what? We may run 50 times in one game. We may throw 50 times because that's what the Patriots are doing. And you couldn't game plan for that because you didn't know. But you know what? I think Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, he needs an offense with an identity. You need to figure out what you are and who you are because you know what the Titans are? They know who they are. They're going to get better defensively. They added on their defensive front. They finally decided to strap up the feed bag to Derrick Henry and let's just go to work. And in Tannehill, you manage the offense. You're a game manager. We're going to use your mobility. You're going to be an Alex Smith with maybe a little bit better passing acumen. And then they happened to really nail it by grabbing a really good football player in A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, well, he only plays in the slot. I don't care. He's like a 220-pound slot receiver. But that dude has turned into a major, major cog in that offense.
Jonnu Smith.
And Jonnu Smith, too.
Holy crap.
I mean, Jonnu Smith and A.J. Brown, you know, you have a tight end and a wide receiver, and you have Corey Davis, but they have figured out who they are. They don't need to have a bunch of wideouts. When you have a powerful runner and a quarterback who can weasel some third downs and turn them into first downs with his legs or his arm, I mean, Tennessee's found a winning formula for them. Don't screw it up. Run the ball, play good defense, and we can win games. And Vrabel, and does that surprise you? That's a perfect identity for a guy like Mike Vrabel, who's a defensive-minded guy. You think it's like a Bill Cowher defense or Bill Cowher team. Run the ball. Make some plays with your quarterback from time to time. Play good defense. That's what they're doing. And what's the Texans' identity? I mean, I don't know. And Bill O'Brien's not here for us as our punching bag anymore. But the reality is, I don't know what the Houston Texans' identity is. We know they don't have one on defense. They're not good enough. But what's their offensive identity? Do you know? What is it and what do they want it to be? Are they two different things?
Well, obviously, everybody. Well, we got to run the football. Blah blah blee blah blah. I mean, there is no identity to this team, right? I think they've got.
I think Deshaun needs a good running game to take a little pressure off of him.
Well, of course he does. Everybody does. I think they've got to be a little. They you know what? They got a little Smurfs, and Cooks and Cobb and Stills and even Fuller. I mean, They don't have a DK Metcalf. They don't have a Julio Jones. They don't have any big, strong guys that can go up and get footballs. You know, D-Hop was a guy who go and win any one-on-one battles, but they don't have that guy anymore. I mean, even their tight ends, Akins is a beast. I mean, he'll catch the ball and run you over. But what they got to be is a little – I love the they've got to run a bunch of crossing patterns. That's all. I mean, they are so much more effective when they're running side to side as opposed to down downhill as opposed to downfield. They really, really are. And those guys can lose guys. You can set, you know, fake picks. You can do what you want. It's what this team has to do. They don't have a. Are you kidding? They want to run the ball. What? David Johnson's going to run? You're going to put the team on David Johnson's back, though? Hell no.
No.
Hell no. 846 ESPN 97.5. You want to drink, Lance? Of course you want to drink.
Blackland Distillery. I was talking to Derek yesterday at Real about, you know, he's a big, big fan. He's a beverage director, one of the top beverage directors in the city, was a big time guy in New York as well, and came down here. And we were talking about bourbon last night, and he was talking about Blacklands bourbon and how good it is. And he was talking about the processes and distilleries, distilling houses. We were going through the whole thing. And, you know, the thing he says about Blackland Distillery is he says it's exceptionally rare for a bourbon to be that good for such a young company, that rarely do you have someone who understands the ability to bring those flavors and ingredients together. And yet that's what it is. And when Derek found out that Marcus, the owner of Blackland Distillery, also had a background in the culinary world, he said, I get it now, because it's really just cooking. What you're doing is adding ingredients, getting the perfect flavors and flavor profile and cooking. And that's what they do. And that's why Blackland Distillery is so renowned throughout the state. Grain to glass distillery, and they have vodka, gin, rye, and bourbon, and they all have very unique, distinct flavors. And a lot of it comes from the flavor profiles that Marcus Kypreos is able to put together for you. Make sure that if your local liquor store doesn't have Blackland Distillery, that they start carrying it. And if you do find it, make sure you stock up, because Blackland Distillery is a fantastic spirit. Check out Blackland online at blacklanddistillery.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, before we get back to Astros, quickly, where do you think these two offenses are? Titans and Texans. What do you think they rank? Let's start with yards.
Chiefs. They got some dirty yards against the Vikings. I would say Texans are about middle of the pack, and I would say Titans are top 10.
16th and 22nd.
Who's 22nd?
Texans. In yards. 22nd in the league.
And Titans are only 16th. Okay. That's not a huge surprise, just because they're going to be a little bit more of a time of possession team, too.
Points per game.
Texans are lower. They did hit. I'll say Texans about 24th and the Titans at 12th.
Sixth.
Titans are sixth?
Sixth, and the Texans are 24th.
24th, yeah.
I mean, they have, okay, when was the last time they scored 30 points in a game?
Texans?
They scored 30.
Yeah.
This week.
Before then?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go back to last year, obviously. Did they get to against the Chiefs?
Well, not counting the playoff game in the regular season. Obviously, they did. They scored 24, and then they added.
Jaguars London?
No. Jaguars London, they scored 26.
That's it?
Yeah. 26-3. They beat their ass.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, 31-24. Week six.
Oh, wow.
Week six.
That's the first time they've scored 30 since then. And this is a league where everyone's busting 30 now.
Yeah, and they only busted 30 twice last year. Atlanta, they scored 53. And then the Chiefs, they scored 31. Otherwise, you know, the only two games last year, they scored 30.
Let me ask you this question. So, this question was asked of me by someone in the sports world, and I'll tell you who during the break. But he said he had a problem with the Texans letting Bill O'Brien go, and let me tell you why. He said, so after you blow a 24-0 lead against the Chiefs, you give Bill O'Brien control of the draft, control of free agency, and you let him, and then you're ready to get rid of him after the first four games of the next year. He said those two things don't match. If you're willing to give a guy that much, he lost the game. You had a chance to fire him last year and not deal with the draft, not deal with the free agency, all these other moves and things like that. If you're willing to fire him after four games in this year, why allow him to have that much power in the offseason after losing to the Kansas City Chiefs? So this guy's thought was, let him keep going. You obviously trust him enough. My contention is, it's also about the personalities in the locker room. Like the player, he's lost the players. That's a big, big problem.
Well,
I obviously don't think he should have ever been given personnel control.
Well, here's the deal. If you didn't, listen, Bill O'Brien, the coach, would still be here if it wasn't for Bill O'Brien, the general manager. Because Bill O'Brien, the general manager, made so many boneheaded decisions, so many embarrassing decisions.
People off, though.
But if he didn't have the power, which he obviously, and he pissed people off, a general manager would have put him in his place and said, hey, you know what? Settle down. And oh, by the way, no, it was one big ball of Bill O'Brien. General manager contributed to head coach being fired. Because
you can't separate the
two. You can't separate. I mean, he made so many the boneheaded moves caught up to him. The boneheaded moves just and said, well, we just can't do it. 0-4 with what you've done this offseason and how you've ruined this organization, it all played into it. Let's get Gary in here. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about some football. Hey, Gary, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. How are you? Good. Hey, big Bills fan. It was a rough night last night. No excuses. Hey, it's a week-to-week league. 1 week you're driving a Cadillac. The next week you're on a skateboard with a bad wheel. It's not indicative of who our team is. You're going to have them weeks. Hey, I got a question and a comment for you guys. Once again, hey, I love your show. I don't get a chance to call much. Hey, we're 28th in the league in rushing before last night. So I'm sure we could have dropped down. My question is, what do you think about kicking the tires on Le'Veon Bell? Would Brandon Bean doing something like that, you think he'd change of scenery might help? Or is maybe the Steelers just warm to the ground and a year off hurt? And the comment is, hey, we drafted this kid, he's 22 years old from Texas A&M this year. He had some problems. He got in that culture, and they've turned him around, and he's playing some ball. A guy by the name of Terrell Dotson. Hey, I love your show, and hey, you keep guys doing what you're doing, and you guys take care.
Thanks, Gary. I didn't know Dotson was playing that well for you guys. Yeah, they always said Dotson had world-class athletic ability and potential, but that he was just a knucklehead. And I'm surprised he's playing that well. As far as running game, I don't think they would take a chance on Le'Veon Bell because Zach Moss should be coming back soon. And granted, you got one start, you got a starter who's a second-year running back and then a backup who's going to be a rookie. So who knows? Maybe they would. And it's not like Zach Moss didn't have some injury concerns. He had been beat up pretty good at Utah. So maybe they would kick the tires on Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is going to go somewhere where somebody thinks that he is not going to be a disruptive factor in the locker room. Because Buffalo's building something pretty good. They're building a pretty good culture. Like, I think Buffalo's got a good head coach, a good GM, and I like the way they're building their team. I don't know that they would take Le'Veon Bell, but that would be one of those teams, I think, that would consider Le'Veon Bell.
Dotson?
He said Terrell Dotson from Aggies.
He hasn't carried the ball.
No, he's a defensive player.
I thought he said running back.
No, he's a linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah, he said Dotson's playing real well, but I wasn't paying attention to Dotson over there. No.
Okay. Anyway, so, yeah, I didn't know him. Kicking the Le'Veon Bell,
for the Bills. I mean, I could see that.
Singletary's averaging almost 4 yards a carry.
But I didn't realize they were 28th in the league, even with the quarterback who runs the ball.
Yeah, right. He's got 100 yards already this season. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the kicking tires. A team that's as good as they are, maybe you can handle them. That's pretty good.
Anything you get is just short term. No one's taking him on long term.
No.
So anything you do is going to be short term. So you can always get rid of him. You can always Carmelo him. And if you have a problem with him, if he's not good, you can always get rid of him. I would say the most likely teams, you know who I think would actually be a pretty good fit, where he'd be a fit potentially, is with the Saints. Letting him handle some of the dirty work. So you get Alvin Kamara more, you know, less involved with. I'm just not a huge Latavius Murray guy. I think that.
How much are you going to be on the. Well, can he handle not being on the field all that much?
What about the. Well, see, the Chargers have a bunch of losses. I don't know if the Chargers would want to take him because I think he'd be better than Josh Kelly, but, you know, I don't know. Rams, you just got Cam Akers back. Look. The main thing is, if we're talking local, I don't think the Texans would add Le'Veon Bell. They already have expensive running backs. John and I pointed out earlier, they have the most expensive running back crew in pro football this year of actual cap value.
Look at the all the yards that they're piling up. You know, the production is definitely worth that money.
Yeah, it's staggering production on the running.
It really kind of is. Really kind of is
staggering.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. Is Le'Veon Bell, is he turning into something that you got to worry about him in the locker room? Is he turning into something? Is he a guy that maybe is playing?
About Carolina? You have Christian McCaffrey, but you don't want to beat McCaffrey all to hell. That's one of the things is, you know, he's not the biggest guy. What about having McCaffrey? You're already paying him. What about having Le'Veon Bell come in there and bang for you a little bit? And Mike Davis had a really good game, by the way, so probably not. They'll probably go cheap, but I don't know. It's just an interesting name. I know Houston Texans fans don't care where he lands if he's not going to be a Texan, but I just find it interesting that he sat out in Pittsburgh a whole year. He got to the Jets, and it's been a huge bust with the Jets. He's been nothing. What you want to talk about a reset organization? You give Joe Douglas a chance to reset that thing. You fire Adam Gase, you clear out cap space, whatever you need to do, and then you have to give Joe Douglas at least 2 more years because that thing is an absolute mess. And it starts with their ownership. Their ownership's a mess. Woody Johnson and now Woody's son is running it. And Adam Gase, golly. Adam Gase he's the one who had Tannehill, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And ran Tannehill out, and now all of a sudden Tannehill looks like he can play again, and Adam Gase is over there, and Sam Darnold has these sad, confused looks in press conferences. And he's not even – he's beat up. He's not – now they got Joe Flacco rolling over there.
So the Texans have moved up. Just looking at the rushing numbers. Guess where they're at now?
23rd,
you wish. They're 30th.
Oh.
They were last in the league in rushing until this week.
Oh, that's right. You mean running for 30 yards is going to make you last?
96. They ran for 96. Well, ran for over 100. Yes, running
David
for 30
Johnson
yards
like
is going to make you laugh.
15 for 16.
Only two teams are worse. The Giants are the worst in the league in rushing the football. Well, they lost Saquon.
Well,
remember when Saquon tried to play the Steelers and every carry was lost?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for the Texans, one of the numbers they've actually gone down in, like in terms of they've improved in that, they've gone from third to eighth in draft order.
Oh, damn it.
That's unfortunate.
Third to eighth?
Yeah.
They knock you out of the top 10.
Yeah. Guess what?
That one blows.
They're going on a run. 9 straight wins,
I
Del.
Would cheer
aren't
so
they
loud
playing
for
the Titans?
Every...
The Titans who just put the Bills into the ground with no practice?
No, I'm worried. I ain't worried about the Titans. I'm worried
that's
about the Packers.
That's another Texans first down.
I'm worried about
every
the
first
Packer
down.
Game
I'm
going right
to say that because I'm hoping that it ruins your draft pick.
That's it.
Well, O'Brien ruined our draft picks, and I hope we ruin your draft picks.
I hope your heart isn't ruined, but Lance can fix it.
Now, I can't, and I do not want you – actually, I don't want that used against me, but I had somebody yesterday ask, hey, what's the company that does the heart – it's CoreMed Solutions. They're here off Southwest Freeway, but the great thing is they can take their show on the road. If you've got a business or if you want to talk to your bosses about getting the entire – you know, if you got insurance, why not have CoreMed Solutions bring out – all their equipment and run tests. It takes like 15 minutes and you can get tested for your echocardiogram, your EKG. You can find out what your heart health is. Heart health is a very important issue. It's the number one killer in the United States. It's gone past cancer. The number one killer. Do you have a congenital issue? Do you have a hereditary issue? Do you have myocarditis after having even as little as an asymptomatic version case of COVID? These are all things that you need to look into. And even young children and athletes need to be checked up, because if you have a heart condition, even at a young age, at some point it's going to be a concern. But if you're not getting it checked up, you don't know. And sometimes it's too late when you find out. CoreMed Solutions is there to help. They can get you treated. Cardiologist on staff for pediatric and adult. And yes, they can come to your place of business and get it done either with your insurance or with no insurance. It's just $200. CoreMedSolutions.com. CoreMedSolutions.com.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.